Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Everybody say, wow, wow, wow. I'm telling you, I'm staggering in the Lord here. I'm afraid of heights. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. So glad to be here. I sang here about 27, 28 years ago. An old timer this morning, he said, hey, you were here with me. And went, yes, I was. We got here right after dirt was invented. You know what I mean? But I'm serious. This is absolutely amazing. You know how when you're not, I am a part of this congregation. How many believe that? Oh, yes, I am, because we're all the family of God. Glory be to His holy name. As the singers were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are His, and we have a ticket. We have a ticket. Let me ask you something. Are you going to drop dead someday? What? I do not intend to drop dead. I don't. Now, you think with me for a second. I may be off kilter here. You know? Why did I feel like a dog in a fire hydrant right there? No, I'm not going to die. I'm going to be translated. And I'm going to ask you to take a party with me. All right, you guys, give me a bit of your ear, okay? My body functions are going to cease. The human dynamic is going to stop. You got one of them battery-run watches? Remember the old ones you had to change a battery in, right? Boop. What's going to happen to the watch now? Dead. That's right. When I was saved, here's what happened. And that battery, Holy Ghost, is a lot better than ever ready, ever made. God keeps His children alive. God determines my departure and my arrival. God is perfect, I'm not. We are the body of Christ, and we have been bathed in the blood of Christ. If you are born again here, you are bathed in the blood, as we sang. God wants us to revere Him. He wants us to worship Him. There is none like Him, and there will never be a copy. This isn't carbon copy church. This is one Lord, one Savior, one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, because He cares for you and me. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have unsaved relatives here? Yeah, okay. You are baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are given the Word of God to write it. He will write it upon your hearts. You will live as a witness for the Lord. And I don't know if you're buying this never dying business, but I've chewed on it for 2 years, and I can't come away from it now. The body will decease. In a nanosecond, when my body is dead, I'm home with the Lord. I've been translated. Nobody's going to see me like this anymore. Aren't you glad? Hey, don't let the jacket fool you. It's paid for. It took me 36 months. No. God wants us to continually bear witness of Him. Continually. When we go, I don't know if there's going to be an angel choir for us to join. I love music. I've sung most of my adult life from age 12 on up, and done some concerts and recorded some CDs, and some people use them for frisbees now, you know. But God has blessed me and you with the gift of eternal life. You cannot earn it. I don't care how many spiritual push-ups you do. You cannot earn it. God is gracious. No one can outgive God, who gave His only Son to die an agonizing death Jesus knew well before he went out to that cross on Golgotha, he knew way ahead of time that that was going to happen. Yet he still prayed, Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me. But no, Lord, no, Father, your will be done. I want to ask you, we're going to take about 30 seconds to do this. I want you to look in your heart. Please don't play along with me. Just follow through on what I'm asking you to do, would you? Look in your heart. Is Jesus there with you? He bought you. He bought me with that blood. He was obedient unto death. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. We are not called necessarily to die a physical death while witnessing for him. But he who is all-powerful invokes, he brings his power into you by the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I've had some pretty rascally neighbors, but thank God I never had a property line dispute. Those are bad news. It's fine. No, it's not. It's fine. No. God is rich in mercy. God is abundant life. He takes you into relationships where he's known well before you that that relationship is ordained. He wants you to love. Is this your wife or who? Yeah, this is your wife. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
You're not his wife either.
No.
Are you his mom? Are you related to him?
No.
That's okay.
My daughter.
This is your daughter? Well, glory. This is your son-in-law.
Yes.
Wow. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this almost as much as in first service. I got cantankerous and I'm heading down the aisle here and I stopped with this one couple. And when I got up, I think I may have prayed. I don't know what I was doing. But I came up off the floor and the man said, I've been married to her for 74 years. He wins the jackpot, man. I have never met anybody married over 65 years. In all of my days with all congregations, never saw it. So anyway, I love this. I love this. Because you don't use any mother-in-law jokes. I love that about you right there, right? Right. See, my daughter, Alicia, 38 years old, got buried. No, she got married, Jack. Enunciate, Jack. Okay, married. And she married Dylan Mitchell. And I want to tell you, I could not be happier because when I went out to Panera and I asked Dylan to join me, I wrote him a phone message. He said, yeah, I'll meet there at 4:30. So he met me at 4:30 at Panera, and I could see that we were just kind of doing the dance, you know, and the coffee line, and, you know, and then get the old eclairs or whatever we're eating. And finally he got sat back down, and Dylan said, I really love your daughter, quote, end quote. Look me right in the eye. What do you think I said? Can you explain that a little bit better to me? I'd like to get a, you know, understand what that is all about. But I'm so pleased. Dylan brings Isla, 9, and Maverick, 7, into the marriage. My daughter is celebrating her 16th year as an elementary teacher up in the Pleasant Valley District. And I got to tell you, she lives for Jesus. And just because she doesn't preach in her classroom, she has a history of children being drawn to her. Drawn to her. Why? Because Jesus is in my daughter. He loves these kids. He wants them to be educated, and he wants them to be touched by an ambassador of Christ. Ain't that right? He wants those kids. He loves those kids. He just doesn't want anybody and everybody touching those kids' souls, their brains, their personalities. And my daughter goes the extra mile. I know I've got some teachers in here. Raise your hand if you're an elementary teacher. Bang, good one. I love it. Anyone else? Yes. Any high school teachers? Any Bible teachers? How many Bible learners do we have? Yeah. Doctor told me don't do that because you fall down. You're 77 years old now, you know. Okay, great. I don't live by the number, you know. I live by the Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. I'm telling you. But God has a desire for our lives to witness to His love, His justice, His mercy. Those are not fairy tales and stuff that God stuck in the Bible for the heck of it. God put those in the Bible so that we would desire in it when we want to be like Him because we love Him so much, right? When we love Jesus, we want to be like Him. Anybody got a taker over here for that? Amen. Yeah. God, who's rich in mercy, He loves justice. He abhors, that's the biggest word I'll probably use today. He abhors, He hates to the max dishonesty, abuse, you name it. The sins of the flesh. I almost suffocated by getting into sins of the flesh, and I'll tell you that story later on if we have time. Please let me have time, please. When God cleanses you and makes you absolutely whole, whole, in Him, He cleanses you, He washes you from the inside out. All right? I told a burglar friend of mine that I met, I was witnessing to him in East Moline Correctional Facility in East Moline, Illinois. And I said, what were you in for? Oh, grand larceny and all this stuff. I said, listen, Jesus is doing an inside job on you. Where's the drum beat when you need it, you know? Rim shot, boom. Yeah, he got it. And we had a great conversation because that was the icebreaker. Right? You can talk to you're blue in the face to some people and no comprende. You know? In fact, they don't see you. But Jesus brought you here today, not so blabbermouth could, you know, upchuck on you or anything. You know, I'll step back. But if did you pay a lot for that seat? Those are expensive seats. Okay. God wants us to be like Him. Now, I'm going to read you something right here. Well, by the way, let's tell the gang here the same thing here. I want to show you what 12 hours looks like. I hope I get to share that someday, but I got prepared to come down here 12 hours with that, and I don't have it. I don't have it. God changed gears. Yeah, and may I never be such a... I don't want to be... Because all those years in entertainment, you kind of get... where you feel like you're, to be honest about it, kind of stuck on yourself, right? My mom said, you have a face for radio. I kind of took her serious, you know. I never did a show with a mirror in front of me while I was talking to you. I was on WLLR for 12 years, Baltimore and Washington, D.C. for 6 years, WHO in Des Moines for 2 years. You know, God's been good. But I'll tell you what, if you can't give all of your life to Jesus, find out why. Christianity, I'm going to say something, and we could conject on it, we could get back and forth, you know. Christianity is who you are in the dark. I'm thrilled to be a swizzle stick here at Aledo First Baptist. Because the one who's got the stick in his hand is your father Jesus and my dad Jesus. Mm-hmm. And He loves worship like you're privileged to worship in this church. I can't tell you how infrequently in Iowa and this part of Illinois when I go and do these things, how infrequently do I ever see the love, the multi-generational love and worship here is wonderful. And I give God all the glory and you, thanks everybody for yielding your life as a worshiper of the living God. Yep, He calls us to yield. That's one, Did you ever get a ticket or anybody get a driving ticket here? Anybody slip out of a ticket and just go, oh my gosh, that was close. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. God wants us to yield. So if I can see that inverted triangle, remember, yellow one, yield. That's what he wants, right? Now I'm going to go back and finish on the death and dying because I don't think everybody was saying, you know what, he's got a point there. I think that's pretty cool. No. If God has given you eternal life and saved you, then you have eternal life and are saved. If you are saved, you're saved for his reasons, and you're saved by his sacrifice and your faith, the faith that he's given you to receive the gracious sacrifice and resurrection of the Son of God. You wouldn't be able to receive that and get a hold of that unless Jesus spoke to you. Amen. That's why we get to stay in the Bible so much, because we want to be closer to Jesus. I'm afraid of memorization. I'm 77 now. I've got about probably 10 verses memorized, you know, and can call them up like that. Hello. No. And get them in conversation. But I'll tell you what. I don't go for feathers in my cap. I'm not going for, you know, chevrons on my arm. I've been a chief warrant officer in the army of God, you know. Now, hold on here. God is looking for children that he can raise. That doesn't play too well when I do stuff with white-collar people insulted about a third of the audience right there. No, I mean, I'd insult anybody. But I go out and I do a motivational thing sometimes, and these fellows are sitting there like this, looking at you through the hairs on their eyebrows, you know, and kind of intimidates you, but I found out that if I let their presence, when they're gawking at me and not really agreeing, it looks like, right? Not agreeing with what I'm saying about Jesus and how you want a business to grow and prosper and you want to leave Jesus out of it. Your business may grow and prosper, but I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to have as much fun as you would have if Jesus was above your CEO, giving him a holy back rub. Giving that board of directors a holy back rub, right? So that Jesus can have his way with your business. Or if you're not a business person, he can have his way with your motherhood and your aunt, being an aunt, okay? All this stuff, come on. Jesus has to anoint us in order to be effective witnesses for his glory and his love. He has to anoint us. People have kind of, the word baptism of the Holy Spirit, or as some say, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now that's for charismatics. You know what happens when we do that? Now that's for that. We're doing this. We're dividing the Bible, the body of Christ. I have no right to do that. Not one right at all. None of us do. God came that they, that's a collective pronoun. I know that. God came that they may have life, and that more abundant. Anyway, I learned, because I was involved in the charismatic movement when Keith Green and a lot of these people, Paul Clark, Honey Tree, all those musicians, started out in California, and like a wave of locusts across the contiguous United States, there it came, a cloud of witnesses doing new music. Where's our musicians here? I sure liked your band. I love it. God said, look it, I'm the one doing the anointing. I'm the one that knows black from white. I know how to light up your life. You know what's going through my mind right now? Because all those years in radio playing records for you and stuff. And the angels cried, holy, and the angels. I don't know what it is about certain notes and certain keys at a certain cadence. But when you add the words, the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. They're not talking about me and you. They're talking about the one who made us holy. Because we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. And like the blood that flew out of his abdomen when they speared him, we are being moved out. Moved out. The DNA that's moving out of me, I'm using a paraphrase here. The DNA that's moving out of us is Jesus Christ and his message. I want you to remember that picture. Some of you went with me there and used the artistic thing. When his riven side were speared by those Roman centurions that were in the execution group, blood and water spewed out of Jesus onto the earth, right below the cross. Jesus gave his life. Men didn't take it. Jesus gave his life. Men didn't take it. Jesus gave his life. Men didn't take it. Because the Bible says God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, isn't that great? We can be called like, well, we're the saints at First Baptist Aledo, but we're also part of the whoever, hallelujah, whoever believes in him. You don't believe under your own power. The Holy Spirit is the power to ignite your faith in Jesus Christ, that grace may flow into you and you will not die. You will simply change locations. We are vessels, holy vessels. You know how you go in for surgery, right? And you're laying there on the table and you see all the hardware over here before they put the anesthesia in your nose, you know? And you say, oh my God, look at the size of that knife. Woo! You know, and then you wake up from the anesthesia and they have all that stuff out of there and you kind of say, oh, I hope they knew what they were doing. Because there's no turning back now. You know, I've been cut open. Okay, let's be cut open for Jesus' sake. Let's not be different in the dark than we are when we convene in this auditorium. Are you copying me on that? Okay. Let's not be schizophrenic with our faith. That's why I need you. I need you. You were in first service, right? Glory be to God. I can't believe people come back a second time to hear the wind back, you know? I'm not kidding you. We're making an object lesson. I hope you don't mind being called an object lesson. I don't know why you came back. You never talked to me about that. We did share an embrace over here, though, and a good word of encouragement after service. But I just believe that you believe that there's something in a message now that you're going to need, and that's like ice cream on the top of the apple pie. You got the pie this morning, you're going to get some ice cream and sprinkles now, all right? Check this out. Now, this goes back to what I was studying. I have never typed in front of people like that. Is that cool or what? Just a minute now. And I don't even have my glasses on, so when I hit cancel, I'm doing pretty well. Okay. Paul commands in Philippians 4:4. Now, this is tough now. This is just the eternal word has no boundaries. 25, 26, 27, I'm going to be in East Moline Correctional. That has some boundaries for my brothers in the Correctional Institute. There's a boundary there. But guess what? He who is born again has been set free, and he is free indeed. His location may be in the prison, but he's there not to just pay for a debt against the public. He is there for what? What? To be a witness. To be a witness. That's right. That's why we're, some of y'all are from Oledo, most of y'all are from Mercer County, some drive in for church, some walk over to church. But let me tell you, when God assembles us, he is trying to show you that he is alive, that this is a blood-bought document, that it has all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to save any soul from any country, of any race, anywhere. God is looking for a church to bring that in love. Bring the apple pie in love, okay? Paul commands in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice always. Rejoice always is a call to find joy in every situation. Not just in good times. Now imagine going through a season of dealing with a rebellious teenager. Oh my, that cut close, didn't it? All right, no offense intended, but it's an example. Here's just an example. Going through a season, tough season with a rebellious teenager, instead of letting this type of circumstance steal your joy, we are encouraged to shift our focus entirely on God and not the rebellious son or daughter. God is not like a spectator. Well, go ahead and try whatever you've got up your sleeve on him or her, you know, and maybe they'll change. I don't know. I'll keep a watch on you. You have your girl get back to my girl, okay? I got other people in Russia I got to go see. No, the Holy Spirit is all over, right? And we can talk to him and walk in blessing. We can walk blessed. The body of Christ is blessed or blessed. I'm serious. Did you ever see any footage or anything on YouTube or wherever where there's worship services like in Ukraine and worship services in the jungles in Africa? Inevitably, when there is singing, people who are filled with Jesus, they kind of pick up on the movement and the tempo and the melody. And all of a sudden, God's got his choir singing, and we are singing in unison with all the other blood-bought Christians in the world, because God has an angelic set of musicians in heaven, and guess what? I don't care if you can't sing a note or if you think your voice is silly and goofy. No, don't worry about it. When we are making a joyful noise unto the Lord, God accents the we. Because we as his kids. Oh, I got youth here. Better use right English. We are his kids. All right? And we're in the band for Jesus. Here it is. The writer said, I recall a time when I was going through a difficult period and a conflict in my church. It was hard to feel joyful. But reading Philippians 4:4-9 over and over again, look it up. Right, where's Seth? Anybody? Austin? Look up. You got a Bible there? I want you to look up and come up and read it for us. Philippians 4:4-9. This author says, by reading Philippians 4 through 9 of chapter 4, over and over again, leaning into prayer and trusting in God's presence brought a sense of peace. Peace. And that situation melted. I don't know if it was a dad and a daughter or, you know, but it was an adult and a teenager. And sometimes, as you folks know, because some of you are adults right now, some of you are teenagers right now, it can be kind of a pain in the butt to get along with everybody, right? My dad, he leaned on me really hard. He was 70 years old when I was 13. I lived on a dirt farm back up in central Wisconsin, 40 miles north of Wisconsin Dells. We couldn't raise hardly anything on it but dandelions and quackgrass. It's the strangest farm I ever saw. You know, had 440s. We couldn't till but a half a 140. What's that, a 20, right? New math. Right? No, we just didn't have the tillable soil. It's all shale. No black dirt where I was at. My dad got frustrated, and guess what? That frustration spilled over on me. My other brothers were in Vietnam. I had a Navy brother and an Army brother, 12 years older than me, 8 years older than me, and then squirt. And, you know, when a man is an old bull, my dad, Did you, you guys are here, and you ladies that have been on farms, when the old bull is not the one that can quite get the insemination done, you send the old bull to the back pasture. If you turned them down at the locker plant, they'd probably tell you, no, the meat's too tough. You'd have been better just to leave him die in the back pasture. So you get a young bull, right? Well, God's eternal. He doesn't have to be young or old. This is not an old book. Do you know that? It's just not an old book. It's as new as it is today, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. All right, have you got it? Austin, come on up, buddy. Yes, please. Philippians 4, 4 through 9.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think of these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen, practice these things, and God will be with you.
Can I use that?
Yeah.
Thank you. I love you, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
I do. You're the youth pastor, right?
Yes, sir.
Glory be to God. Like I said before, if we can do something with some kids, I'd love to do that. All right, listen to this. Y'all are without a senior pastor right now. Your search committee's been working day and night, so to speak, right? Resume, phone call, phone interview, tickets to come in, tickets to fly back to wherever to be interviewed. Hey, listen, church. The pastor is not Lord of the church, so don't be elevating him. Respect the office of pastor, because there is an anointing from God on the lead shepherd in a human flock, a gathered flock on this earth. You see where I'm going on that? Because Christ is the Lord of the church. I won't be, you won't be, and pastor won't be. But the important thing to remember is, now this is going to freak some people out, and others are going to say, my golly, I know the Lord's here now. I had no intention. Because I don't rehearse this stuff. I just feel like I need to be more like soft clay in God's hands. And take nothing away from people who have a prepared message. I'm not being a smarty marmy here. All right? I'm going to read this again. Thank you for warming it up. And I'm going to tell you right now that in my opinion, which sometimes isn't worth the paper it's written on, but in this case I think I do have a valid concern. You are my family in Aledo. And I'm telling you right now, read this once a day. I didn't ask you too much for the next 2 weeks. Read it over. Pray if you've got a mate in the house, or if you're a mom with just kids, or however it is. I want you to read this at least once a day till next Sunday, including next Sunday. 4:4, Philippians 4:4. And I'm going to take some literary justice with this. Hope you don't shoot me for that. Okay? Rejoice, Aledo First Baptist. Rejoice in the Lord always, whether you have a pastor or not. Again, I will say, rejoice, Aledo First Baptist. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I do. You think the Lord was doing that? I do. He's reminding us that this church has a lot of people having a lot of babies. And that rocks my world. I am so excited about young married couples. You just rock it. All right, I hope you don't mind now that I'm, you know, putting like Aledo First Baptist in here. Okay? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Reason, Abel. You are able, by the mind of Christ, to discern things that the average Joe that doesn't come to church, Joe and Jane, that don't know nothing, they don't know Jesus. You have been given reasonableness. That's why God wants his children eating at the table of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, just like this. He desires that. You guys are a neat couple, and the more and deeper you get in Christ, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I'm just focusing on this dear couple, but you know what I mean. You're my whole family. You're their whole family. I'm just talking family talk. God wants to do a work in each of you individually, and the anointing that he's put on you as a couple, so that Christ in you will flourish, will just be coming out of your eyeballs, coming out of all your action. And you, church, that's what God wants for you. We'll get a pastor here. Don't worry. God knows who it's going to be already, right? And God knows his timetable. So listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything. Because this world of ours is so sick right now, it's anxiety on every corner. In my opinion, I don't know the day or the return of Jesus Christ. I know for a fact he's going to return, because he said he was. And he knows the time ticket. And he don't have to stand in some airline waiting for the flight to get there to take him into the... No, he's going to come. And they say he's going to come through the heavens, and we're going to see him. We're going to see him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, here's the tools now, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's the attitude of this church, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Here's an adjective phrase about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What will that peace do? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody here of any age that's thinking, yeah, it's easier said than done. He doesn't know. He doesn't live with us down here. He doesn't know what the heck's going on. I was on a church board of deacons in Bettendorf, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, whatever the term was. It was quite a while ago. But we had to learn how to wait on the Lord. He promises to renew our strength so that we'll mount up like with wings like eagles, that we as deacons will run and not be weary, we will walk and not faint. Why? They that wait upon the Lord. Don't, you know, church governance is a challenging thing. But most churches have either elders, deacons, or whatever you're going to call the particular office and office holders, all right? But the thing that's amazing is when, and I've had both ends of the stick on this one, I'm telling you right now. I've had a terrible church experience with a Baptist church, by the way, and a really, really heartwarming experience. When Christ softens the heart of leaders in a church so that they're seeking from you the blessing God intends for them, he puts it in you, you, the flock. He puts this in you, the flock, and you're to bless your leaders, and they are to humble themselves and receive it. God loves a praying church. He died for all creation. Everybody that's going to be saved is not saved yet. God's got the whole thing. He got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole wide world, right? He knows what's going to happen. But I'll tell you what. Your workers here are to be, that you put in office, deacons or a council, I'm not sure what you call it. Love on them. Love on them, seriously. Give them prayer baths. Give them a prayer bath. No little rubber ducky, you don't have to. But prayer baths. I'm going to get ready to finish now, so keep your eyes on me, okay? It says here in Psalm chapter 5, Alito First Baptist doesn't say that, of course. Give ear to my words. O Lord, consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, You hear my voice. Isn't that great to know? And when you pray in the morning, you're going to hear your voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and I wait in expectation. Did I lose some of you on that one? You agree with the first part of the sentence, second part. Lay your requests before him and wait on him in expectation. You are not a God, Lord. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. Okay, now you come to meddling, right? Because I don't care how born again we are, there's a little streak in us that's, I call it the stinker in me, right? There's times that arrogant, I'm not an arrogant person, but sometimes arrogance comes through me. I'm sorry, Lord. I am sorry. Cleanse me again, right? Come to the Lord when you know you've sinned. Come to the Lord right away. He's talking about Jesus here. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. That's a terribly high degree of hate. Will you abhor something? Number 7 verse. But I, by your great mercy, this is the writer, this is David. Man, you talk about a conflicted guy who just flat out got it on with Jesus. When he started understanding that the Holy Spirit of the living God was right there with him in those caves that he was in the battles that he was in. You know, wasn't it David with the sling? Huh? I'd have been wetting my pants when I see a giant that big, you know. But see, David knew the Lord was with him. He had 5 little stones and a whirligig, slingshot, right? But what did he do? He did what he was told to do. And that man flat out loved Jesus. David did. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. He's the example for us in this chapter 5 of the Psalms here. Finishing up. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors, but I, by your great mercy, will come into your house as you are doing today. Watch. In reverence, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Are we bowed down before the Lord right now in this instant? I believe you are. I believe God is readying you for a wonderful blessing from him. Don't wait till Pastor gets here and says, well, that guy from Quad City said you were going to be blessing. Do you have any blessings for us, Pastor? Just let's go to Jesus and wait for the blessing that Jesus has got for this church. He goes back. David goes back and says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. Did Jesus say right there that we're not going to have any enemies? Clean slate, no enemies, perfect world. No. There will always be enemies to Jesus Christ and his children. I keep my one finger anyway on the pulse in Israel. And I'm telling you, that flat out, for an amateur student of Israel, very amateur, I'm not a big dog, that just makes me sit there and just wonder. And then you know what comes out of my wonder as I sit in my reading room off the kitchen and read that and read stuff that comes out of, I got a newsletter called The Chosen People. It's written by a group of Gentiles and Jews who know Jesus together, and they write for the commoner that's never going to make it over to Israel. Okay, I did go in 2018, and it was a life changer for me. A man scholarshiped me. Can you believe the generosity of some people when Jesus touches them? He scholarshiped me and took me to Israel. But God is saying, I am the blesser, you are the blessee. Somewhere out there is a blessee that's being blessed wherever he and his family are, presuming he'll have a family man that we have as pastor, I don't know. But he's being blessed. He's a blessee. God is the blesser. He's blessing you so that you can become stronger in prayer. and waiting on the Lord.
Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their spirits. They shall mount up on wings like eagles.
See, that's you. They that wait upon the Lord. That's the definition of the group we're talking about. And you guys are waiting on the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Okay. Don't grow weary in your well-doing, Scripture says. Now look at this. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because my enemies make straight your way before me. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. There's all kinds of junk floating around out there. And unfortunately, some of it has been labeled counterfeitly by, this is Jesus, this is Christian, this is Jesus. No. I'm not judging jury, thank God. I have no business being hypercritical about myself and the rest of the body of Christ. But I can tell you, because part of the Scripture's life, part of the life of Jesus Christ in our Scripture is to forewarn people, right? The bridge is out. Don't go any further. They haven't got the road crew hasn't got the don't go sign up yet. But I tell you, I have seen it with my eyes. I've just come from the river, and it's getting out of its banks, and it's already swore where Chevrolets and Fords go by. There was a house go by with a lady up in a room. I'm forewarning. Isn't that correct? Before they can get rescued, I'm telling them, here's one way to stay a little bit safer. Don't go near that river. It's rising. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. David's praying to the Lord. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. That's us. Have a glad heart. Don't you love it? That he would love you so much that he wants your heart to be glad, to be lighthearted. That your heart is your innermost person. That's the person you are. Let them ever sing for joy. He's talking about us. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. I ask that to occur now in Jesus' name for you. God, spread your protection over this group, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed by His Spirit, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad I'm a child of God. I want you to be glad and have a light heart. Now, I have it in my heart that some of you today have been stimulated by the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we open the Word of God, not just when, you know, like I have a certain way of communicating with people. Some other people have other ways of communicating. As long as we're communicating under the anointing of God, so the powerful Word will go forth and bless. One of the blessings we have in the Church of Jesus Christ is the Word of God will separate dark from light. It will separate us, righteous will be separated from the impure. Okay, the Word of God finds us out. It's a letter from Dad. It's a letter from our Father. Okay? And He is here today, and some of you would like a do-over. Some of you think, man, if they only knew, I had such a rough week, and I ended up doing, ooh. That's like a blank space, fill in the blank. Ooh. Right? Come on. I mean, what I love about the body of Christ is God doesn't say get up and make a spectacle of yourself and tell everybody your dirty laundry. I wouldn't put him past him to say that, though, you know. But that's not a common occurrence. What is important, you're a dad and this is your wonderful son, isn't it? Yeah, I'm digging it, man. Are you turning 16 this year? 18. Man, you're holding your age very well. Okay. And what's your first names? Oh, good deal. I love it. Yeah. What's your Eric? So you're a Norseman and you are Noah of the Ark. All right.
Did you go to that retreat that they had up here on the board before the men? Okay. One time you went? Oh, my gosh. Look out, brother. Brother Noah. This man's packing here. He's got three or four of those getaways under his belt. Okay, here's the thing. Do you have a prayer partner, another male your age roughly, that you could spill your guts to?
Yes.
Okay, so when the wheels wobble on the wagon and maybe a wheel falls off, you can call out in the name of Jesus to your friend. That is discipleship in action. Yes. Hallelujah. Right? Let me ask this. I'm going to go over here. Excuse me. You're just such a pleasant person. You are. Okay. You have a mister in your life.
He's in the sound booth.
Is he that big guy? Oh, for a cry. I've been with your husband since early this morning. And we were both sober. Everything was okay. Oh, my God. That's so funny, don't you think? Okay, now, lover boy, listen up. Okay. You have a peace in your face that is so, so encouraging. God gave you a countenance. You are thankful to be saved. Yes. You know that you are not the victor. We share victory with the victor. Right? We share great marriages with the victor, the one who blesses our marriage. Right? But where I'm coming from is this, and I got to say, because I want to, you know, I got Eric and Noah over there, and I got to work with you now. Your first name is?
Tish.
Oh, Tish. Like?
Short for Letitia.
Letitia. Oh, cool beans. I like it. I love it. No, I'm serious. It's a great name. What's your name, boy? Roy and Letitia.
Troy.
Troy. Well, kill me for a consonant, you know. I missed the T. Okay, Troy and Letitia. Do y'all have a marriage? I'm looking at you, bro. And I'm looking at Tish. Do you have a marriage in which you can level with each other and ask the other spouse to come over here? I need prayer with you right now. Okay. Has it been that way all the time?
We've been married for almost 32 years. So no, not all the
time. Okay.
But now.
Yeah. Because of G-R-O-W-T-H. Growth. Growth. Amen. You know, the greatest thing, the greatest gift I think that we can give, pastor, because we don't know him, can't see him in our minds, right? But we know God's got a pastor coming, all right? Well, I'm going to assert myself here. Never have done that in my life, you know. liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay. The greatest thing I think that, I keep on to say Pleasant View, I'm sorry, that First Baptist in Aledo can give the incoming pastor who we do not know is a praying church that says, Lord, in all things, help me worship you. Because I get down in the dumps sometimes. Meet me there, Lord. I want to worship with you. Lord, I pray for pastor. Lord, I don't know him. I don't know if he's married or not, bore children or not. I don't. But Lord, you have known him since the beginning of time. And you're sending us the real McCoy. We trust you, Father. We trust you. You are our shepherd. Pastor and his staff are under shepherds. Take that to the bank. That's actually real. Now, Lord, come to, pray with me now. Lord, we are so thankful that you allow us to approach you. We've read stories in the Bible that, you know, you are high and lifted up. There are angels surrounding you. Oh, Lord, you are holy. You are rich in joy for the church. I read something, Lord, by that lady, Mrs. Elliot. Her husband was speared to death by the Indian bunch in South America somewhere. And she wrote, after his death, a book that was filled with report and joy. And then she and the son that she bore by Mr. Elliot, they went back to the same tribe. Are you ready for that? Only the Lord could do something like that. Your husband's been speared, and about 5 or 6 years later, you take your teenage son and you go back and try to reason with those people.
Lord, you are mysterious in all your ways, and yet your ways are perfect. We, in this room, 200 some of us, we love you. We sit here saying, Abba, Father. Tender Father. Keeper of our souls. All righteous one. We trust you explicitly. And we love you. Help us love you more. Amen.